No scars, just you.
You were afraid it was somebody important.
Yeah, you don't like Mufasa.
Yeah.
I see.
Now that's power.
Tell me about it. I just hear that name and I shudder.
Mufasa.
Ooh. Do it again.
Mufasa. Ooh. Mufasa. Ooh. Mufasa. Ooh. Mufasa.
Ooh, it tingles me.
I'm surrounded by idiots.
Now, the reason I felt to show that is not that I'm surrounded by idiots. There's a moral. Anyways, because we're going to start a series on money. And when we say the word money, you might feel like shivering. And you might feel like the hyenas and shaking. And there's just sometimes that affects us when we talk about money. But God did not intend money to bring fear in our life. He's meant money was meant to be a tool. And Jesus used it many times for parables and illustrations because it is a part of our life. It's a reality. It is a part of our life. I think sometimes we get a concept that God really doesn't want to bless us. He doesn't want us to prosper. But if you read in the scriptures, he very much so wants us to prosper. If you read in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 28, the scriptures, he's telling the Israelites, says he's taking them from slavery into this promised land, and he begins to tell them, this is my heart for you. And I don't believe it was just the heart back then. It is God's heart, what he wants. And these are just some of the things that he was saying to him. He goes, I want to bless you in the city and the country. So that covers everybody. I want to bless the fruit of your womb, the crops of your land, your livestock, your calves, your herds. Today would be your bank accounts, your jobs, whatever that would be, whatever you're doing, he wants to bless. He wants to bless you when you come in and bless you when you go out. He wants you to realize that he is going to have your enemies be defeated in front of you. This is God sharing these blessings. He goes, I want to bless your barns. So everything, I want to bless, and this is in scripture, everything you put your hand to. I want to grant you abundant prosperity. I want to bless you all the work of your hands. And he even says, I want that you'll be at a point when you will be the lender and not the borrower. And I'm going to make you the head and not the tail. Hopefully reading that, listen to that, begins to give you an idea of this is God's heart. If you read in the Old Testament, he said, basically, if you follow these principles, you shouldn't have any poor. There should be no poor among you. It's what he said. If these principles were followed, if my principles and my ways were followed, this is what society would really look like. But then Jesus' reality is that we do. We have that. So capturing that, I would say that we get an idea that God wants us to have a victorious life. And that's not just related to money. That's in every aspect of life. When we're blessed, he did go on and to tell them, he says, the one thing that happens when you begin to prosper, when you get to have these blessings, he says, be careful because you can forget me. When everything is going okay, when you have all the blessings and all the prosperity, and you know, when we forget God, it affects every aspect of our life. It's not just this way. It affects this way. It affects relationships, affects our view. In Deuteronomy 8, he says, when you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. So there's a key to keep the factor of who gave us this. Why do we have what we have? It says, be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, his decrees I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large, or in other words, you got a lot of money in the bank, you got all kinds of things going on, your gold increases, and all you have is multiplied, then he says, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. So how much money we have does not determine God's love for us. And neither does it determine how valuable you are. That is not an economic statement. It's based on the fact that you are. Money, again, is to be a tool, but it wasn't intent to rule over us. Jesus said, even though sometimes we might feel we're enslaved to it, that we're under its mastery. It says, Jesus said, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. He also, Scripture says, be careful. He says, because the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. And again, the Holy Spirit spoke through Apostle Paul. And he says, in the last days, one of the biggest issues is that people be lovers of money. There's nothing wrong with money. There's nothing wrong. It's a tool. It's our heart attitude and what it does to us. And who are we serving in the midst of all this? This month, we're going to be going through this, the four H's of financial wisdom. Next week is Mother's Day, so we are going to take a week and we're going to celebrate moms, and we have a couple great speakers planned, and we got gifts for moms, so invite mom or invite a mom, you know. And then the next couple weeks, we're going to continue in our series. I know on May 19th, we are going to take some time to honor all of our graduating high school seniors. And in the summer, we are going to start a series throughout the summer on the Sermon on the Mount, which is basically Jesus, what he shared, Matthew 5 through 7. This series is by, basically the one who authored this was Ron Blue. I don't know if you guys ever heard, anybody ever heard of Ron Blue? Ron Blue is the founder of Kingdom Advisors, and his whole heart is to help Christian financial advisors apply biblical views, a biblical view. And he actually has the largest financial planning firm in the country. And so he's the one who mostly authored this. The four H's that we'll be talking about is, one of them is, if we can get up here, heart, behavior follows belief, health, today's reality, habits, five biblical principles, and hope, tomorrow's promise. And today we're going to talk about the heart. You know, we live out of our beliefs. The reason you're here is because of some belief. There's some belief you have why you're here today. Tomorrow, some of you are going to get up. You're going to go to work because there's some belief. One, you want to live. You want to survive. You want to eat. You want to provide for your family. You want to possibly improve your situation. Some of you, younger ones, will be going to school tomorrow. Now, maybe you don't believe you should be going to school tomorrow, but we do. One is, it's the law, so you have to go to school. But also is to grow and become independent and to be able to provide for yourself. Some of you, hopefully several of us, took a shower today and are cleaned up before we came. And some of you go exercise. And there's different things we do, but it's really bottom line, there's some belief why you do what you do. Why Jason shared about this heart desire. There's some belief God has given him. He has a belief. Why is motivating that? Why Victoria is doing what she's doing with the kids? There's something there. Do you realize, on average, every one of us in our lifetime will be a millionaire? Not all at once. but on average. They said, on average, most people will make between $1.4 and $1.8 million in their lifetime, on average. It's just you don't have it all at once, unless you can save it all at once. The areas we're going to talk about today related to the heart is stewardship, faith, wisdom, and contentment. So there's some stewardship involved in what we receive. In stewardship, the first part of that is God owns it all, and I am manager of his resources. Can we just say that together? God owns it all, and I am manager of his resources. We're stewards, of course, you know, more than just money. We're stewards of relationships God gives us. We're stewards of the body he's given us. We're stewards of our response to other people. There's a lot that we're stewards of that God has given us the ability or given us opportunity to get to have. And the reality is, whether you want to believe it or not, is all of us will give an account for what we've been given. All of us will. And that doesn't happen just when you die. That account can come, accountability can happen right, it does happen sometimes right when we're living. We have to face some of the choices, our issues and stuff, good and bad. And I thank God that there's forgiveness I thank God that he's forgiven me for when I've not been a good steward. For all the years that I denied him, all the years I didn't walk with him, I didn't care what he said. You know, all those years that he forgave me. Even after I become a Christian, I know I messed up. There's things I messed, but I thank God there is forgiveness for us in those situations. Aren't you glad there's forgiveness? Aren't you glad that once you get saved, you don't have to be perfect? That we still can come, we still can ask forgiveness, we can still seek him, he still teaches us and guide us. One of the other things I don't need to do is I don't need to walk in fear, afraid that I might make a wrong decision. Because fear is paralyzing. And that's part of the relationship we have with God, is that even if I mess up, he still loves me. He's going to help me work it out, and I mess up. Sometimes you guys help me know when I mess up. Sometimes he tells me, and sometimes, you know, but I do know that he's still with me. And that's same with you. When we mess up, he doesn't leave us. That's family. You know, there's nobody on the face of the earth, existence, in the universe, anywhere, who's more committed to you than God is. If you can think of the person you think loves you the most and will never, just multiply that times 100 times, and that's what his relationship is you. Ron Blue shares this, says, when we are in a stewardship mentality, we are poised to go on an unforgettable adventure with God. Do you remember what Jesus promised? He said, I have come that you may have life and have it to the fullest. It is a great adventure to walk with God. I can't imagine. You know, the reality is, whether you're with him or not, you're still going to go get groceries, eat, wake up, do all this stuff. But what a great adventure to have God with us in this. The scripture that you'll see on your paper, and if you didn't get it, if, did anybody not get one of these? I know the Jeff and Karen will give you one if you just raise your hand if you didn't get one of these slips of paper. But it says, do not envy the wicked. The other part is that do not desire their company. Envy, the word envy means a feeling of, see if you ever related to this, a feeling of discontented or resentful longing aroused by someone else's possessions, qualities, or blessings. You don't have to raise your hand. Have you ever felt that? I thought, man, I wish I had what they had. I mean, even to a point like almost jealous. It actually comes, it means jealousy, actually, this. Like, I should have that. I should, you know, why don't I have that? And so that's where it says that we're careful when we look around, that we're not envying. If you remember in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4, it says that love does not envy. So that's a counterpart. When we're loving, when we're allowing love to come on, does not envy. In Matthew 25, Jesus shared a parable about stewardship. And he shared about these people, and he gave them different qualities, different levels of stuff. Said, I think one was 5 talents, whatever it was. He gave them different levels of things. It's right there, but I'm not going to read it. and then he said he had them accountable. That's supposed to be small. What are you talking about? All right. He said the one he gave 5 bags of gold, another 2 bags of gold, and another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Now, the word ability there is not a value statement. So when you look at somebody else and say, well, they got this, I don't have this, they have, that's not value. That's not a value statement to God. He's not saying, well, I value them more, so I'm going to give them more. Or I'm going to give more favor to them. That's not what that means. The word ability there, that word actually comes, is the word dunamis. It's the same word when Jesus said in Acts 1:8, you will receive power to be my witnesses. And so the thing is that God has given us whatever ability he's given you, is that you, wherever he has you, can be a witness for him. Last Tuesday, I went down to Columbus and met with some pastors down there. Several young, there was a bunch, most of them pretty young. And all of them, most all of them, had planted a church just recently. Some of them were just a few months, maybe 6-8 months ago, some of them. And I was sitting there listening to them talking, and I'm listening to this guy who planted a church. And, of course, he had, like, almost 80 people come to plant the church with him, leaders. And so that church went, shoom, you know, it's really grew real fast. And then this guy over here is talking about how he didn't have that at all. It's him and his wife, and they're struggling, and they're just battle they're going through, and they have physical issues, and their kids, they got little kids, you know, 4-year-old and different things that they're struggling in. And their church, they got maybe 45 people in their church. It's just been such a battle. And I'm listening to the two of them. Well, there were several others were sharing. I mean, the guy beside me, he was sharing, and some of the things, they were about the same situation. And I'm listening to this, and I'm just thinking, going back to this scripture. Well, you know, a lot of this relates to the fact that, because this young man who was across from me was sharing with the smaller church, and was sharing about the people that was in his church. And he said, yeah, he goes, this is such a bad, he goes, we've had all these drug addicts, they come in and they've been set free and they get saved. He goes, we've had these people coming out of bad relationships and stuff, they're getting delivered. He goes, we got, you know, I'm thinking, that's fantastic, you know, because God put the anointing ability on you to have faith to go to that little town and do that. That pastor over there doesn't have that faith. You do. And the same thing with each one of us. He's put an anointing on you to be where you are. I can't be there. It's not my anointing. Somebody else. You have the ability. You have the dunamis power to do what God's called you to do, to be his witness. And so that's where comparing, even though there's different amounts here that they were talking about, Jesus sharing, had nothing to do with the amount. If you read later, really the whole issue doesn't come to do with how much you got. It's what you did. And if you see, the key was, were you faithful? That's really what he said. He didn't come in and say, well, that's great, you made this much money. He said, well done, good and faithful servant. And so there's a point in all that, the fact of stewardship. Don't compare with others. God has given you anointing to be and to do what you want to do, or what he's called you to do. One of the things, if you read in the last, that one of the guys here who he gave money to, he didn't do anything because of fear. And the fear was all based on misunderstanding. The fear was based on a lie. He perceived God in a way that wasn't true. He perceived God as a thief. He perceived God as hard, and there's no love, and you're just this way, God. If you read that, that's basically what he's saying. He says, you go in, you take stuff that's not even yours. You do this stuff. He just perceived God, and that fear paralyzed him. He didn't do anything. The next part of what we're talking about here is faith. So faith is having, the faith perspective is having financial faith means that I hold my finances with an open hand, seeking God's direction in the deployment of my money. Their scripture says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists, and he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Faith is not just a word, it's an action. You can have that scripture memorized. You can go through and do all the Greek studies. You can read books and books and books and books on faith. But that's not what faith is. Faith is doing something. There's actually an action. There's something. I know Emma swims. Did you still swim? Did you still swim? She swims. Now, Emma, secrets, she can read every book. She can go and say, I'm going to teach swimming. I'm going to have all you guys over there. Emma's going to teach you to swim. She's going to stand up. She's going to show you the stroke. She's going to tell you how to do it. She's going to even give you a handout and show you. But Emma, are they just sitting there doing all that? Is that going to teach them to be good swimmers? No, they got to get in, don't they? Somewhere you got to get in the water. You got to start swimming. And that's what faith is. There's a point of jumping in. And I guarantee you, they're not going to swim as well as Emma does to start with. But they're going to practice. They get there. And faith, having faith work in our finances is basically saying to God, what would you have me to do in this financial situation? And then moving forward in faith based on the answer, whatever you believe in that. You know, and God doesn't leave us blank. When we talk about faith, we have the scriptures that he's not going to tell you to go buy something from a drug cartel. So now he's going to find he has the scriptures. We have the Bible that helps us. We have the Holy Spirit. In Colossians 3:15 it says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace and be thankful." How many of you watched the Blue Jackets game last night? Anybody in here watch the Columbus Blue? For those who don't even know what the Blue Jackets are, that's a hockey team down in Columbus. And they played last night, and they did pretty good, but not good enough. So they didn't lose. And so, but there was some debate on some of the calls. And how many of you ever watched a sporting event where there was a question about a call? The Kentucky Derby. Did you see the Kentucky Derby yesterday? There was a question call. So these things, and that one where it says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart." That means to, as an umpire or referee, making the calls. Let the peace of Christ make those calls inside of you. How many of you ever feel that you ever made a decision based on the peace of Christ? That you felt that? That you believe God has spoken to you and there was just a peace there? Really, it's a sense when we talk about that peace, it means that there's a trust and it feels like sort of like you're just coming into a safe place. That's really what it means. You're coming into a safe place, and you know, God is not so much interested in your finances as much as he's interested in you and what you're becoming in your life. That's just a tool. That's just something that is going on in your life. You ever driven someplace and you had to use your maps? You know, or anything on here. Or like if you went into a new building, like whether it's an airport or a school, and you're trying to find your way around, just do some administration here, some around. And you're reading the signs to figure out where to go, what to do, and what concourse. I remember we flew in Minneapolis the other day, and the lady said, "Well, I'm going to put you in this airport. Because it's so nice to get around." I thought, how many have ever been in the Minneapolis airport? It's crazy. I mean, it's like it dwarfs the Columbus airport. I thought, what are you thinking? I mean, this is crazy. But going, God, when faith, he gives us tools. He shows us. It's not like it's blank. He gives us his word. He gives us signs. He gives us direction. He gives us one another. He speaks to us, and I remember years ago I was trying to debate about this job, and I was trying to discern the peace of Christ. Sometimes it's hard to discern the peace of Christ because the emotions, you know, and sometimes it depends on your personality, you know, as far as trying to discern that. And I was trying to say, God, what is your will? Because I felt I was supposed to leave this job and go to this other job. And he gave me a dream. And he showed me the dream. I was fishing on a pier, and the fish actually pulled the pole away from me. And my boss at that point was right back here, and he wasn't helping me at all. And then I saw the pole started coming back, and I was questioning, should I jump in and get that pole? And it's like I heard this audible voice go, "You can, but how do you know it's not just a turtle?" I thought, it's true. I thought, it could be this big old turtle out there. I don't want to catch a turtle. And so I thought, nope, I'm done. And I stepped off the pier, walked over here, and I found this massive fish. I think it was a salmon or something. It's a really cool fish just laying up here flopping around. The Lord said, there it is. And which is exactly what happened, because my boss wasn't helping me do anything what I thought he was supposed to be helping me do. And they made a counter offer to me, which was the pole coming back. And then he gave me this great, fantastic job. And so, but see, he spoke to me. I believe God does that for each one of us. You ever heard the phrase, leap of faith? It's not in the Bible. There's no place in the Bible that says, take a leap of faith. There's places in the Bible that says we should leap for joy. And we should leap and praise him and jump and shout and praise God. But it doesn't say, take a leap of faith. So when you think, okay, I got to take this massive leap of faith, that's not what he's saying. That's not usually what God's going to do. He wants you to take a step of faith. And if you take a step of faith here, you know what? He's going to provide for you right there. And then you can take another step of faith. He doesn't expect me to jump from here all the way out there. So just take that step. And then take another step. And each one he will provide, and he'll give direction, and he'll show you at that time what you need to know. when you need to know it. So when we talk about faith, it's not a blank screen. God gives us information. He helps us to walk out our Christian life. Another one, area is the wisdom. Living in wisdom simply means applying biblical wisdom to our decisions. There's scripture in James 3:16, for where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you'll find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. So we're looking for God's peace. These are the fruit that comes with that. This is part of how you know there's something that's it's pure and there's peace living. There's something there with that peace. And it promises in James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, this is a promise from God. You should ask God who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. In other words, God's not going to say, well, I don't think I'm going to give Ken wisdom because he did something this week. But Sharon, she was pretty good, so I'm going to give Sharon wisdom. That's what he means. He doesn't find fault. He says if you ask him, he's going to give it. How many of you right now say, I need wisdom? You have a situation in your life, you just need the wisdom of God. Let's take a moment. Let's pray. And when I'm praying, let's pray for one another. Let's just believe, even though you are one who needs it, let's pray and believe for each one of us. So, Father, we just thank you for this promise that you said that you would give us wisdom without finding fault, and you would give it generously. We welcome, Father, for your wisdom. You know every situation that's going on right now. And we just welcome you, Holy Spirit, to bring your wisdom into those situations. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. The Bible says that the fear of the Lord, this is Proverbs 9:10, is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. In other words, there's something about keeping our relationship with God that's going to help us see the light. When we have the light of the world in us and living with us, it's easier to see in directions of life and the author of life. The Bible is our instruction manual. You ever put something together, you need instructions? How many ever put something together, then you looked at the instructions? And you got, oh, no wonder that didn't work. Why do I have this sack of bolts and stuff left over here? Oh, okay. But it's the challenge. Anyways, unless it gets too complicated. Well, the Bible is our instruction book, but it just mostly hits the basics. You know, the adventure, the abundant life comes in all the details. You know, I thank God that he doesn't have all the details in here. That we need him. We need to talk to him to find out what that was. The last part we're talking about is contentment. Contentment comes from applying stewardship, faith, and wisdom. The world continually says, if you want to be content, you got to have this and this and this and this and this. And there's nothing wrong with this, 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 and this, as long as it doesn't become our master. In Philippians chapter 4, says, this Apostle Paul wrote this to the Philippian church, says, I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. Says, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. Whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, I can do all this through him who gives me strength. If you see there, even the Apostle Paul learned this. This wasn't just something, just boom, it happened. He went through the process, as all of us could go through that process, to learn what it means to be content. In the book of Hebrews, it says, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Something about our relationship with God that brings a satisfaction that nothing else will. Again, there's nothing wrong with money. It's a tool. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just how we use it. This does not mean, contentment does not mean that I don't keep trying to maybe better myself, Go to school, learn, educate, grow, be a good steward. That's not what it means. It means there's a sense of peace in our life that does not rest on our stuff. God uses money as a tool to shape us. You ever felt that? That God uses to shape us, to have faith. I don't know about you. You know that first little clip we showed about the Mufasa? I don't know about you, but some of us, I mean, for me, there's a flood of fear related to money that could come at us. And it could come about, what if this happens? What about the future? What are you going to do here? What are you going to do there? I mean, it could just come in like a flood. But Jesus said he put a wall there, a stand that we can trust in him. He said he's going to take care of us. So he uses it as a tool to shape us. God uses money to test us, to sharpen us. I don't know if you can relate to that, but there is a thing, there's a something about being stewards of what he's given us, especially that prosperity or even the lack. What are we doing? What's going on in our life? And he also uses money as a testimony to shine his light in our lives. If we could have a musician come up here, please. So some of the questions, we go ahead and stand. Some of the questions I like to consider today when it relates to stewardship says, do I believe that God owns it all? Maybe right now there's something in your life. Say, Lord, I just need to shift. There's a shift that needs to happen. That I'm just saying, you own it all. I just declare, God, you own it all. You know we don't own it, it shifts the responsibility. The fact that I'm caring for it, but he's the one that's going to provide. He's going to give me. That doesn't mean we don't have a part in it, but he's the one to provide. Faith. Do I believe that I demonstrate my faith through my finances? Again, this is something that you and God relates and how you're going to line up. How is your faith being demonstrated in finances? Most financial counselors will tell you, you can look at somebody's checkbook and tell every priority in their life. How you spend money, what it is, you can just, boom, glance at. Does your checkbook declare any kind of faith in God? Do I believe that God's wisdom is true and available? Well, we just saw a promise that it is. And that's not just in finances. That is, maybe you're just wanting wisdom on how to relate to your children or in a relationship or how to, what are you doing with a decision with your job or whatever in that. And finally, he says, do I believe that what I have right now is enough? Just because we say that doesn't mean that God don't give me, I don't want any more, don't ever bless me. That's not what it's saying. But there's a sense of freedom of contentment in your life. Let's just take a moment and pray. And maybe there's things you just need to release to the Lord. Release your worries, release care, release whatever to you, Lord. Remember, this whole thing goes back to relationship. Everything we do in life should be based on a relationship with Jesus. And not all hung up on, I have to make the, like Shiloh was saying, I got to be perfect. I got to make the perfect decision. It's a relationship. And he walks with us. And we learn and we grow in that. And that is the adventurous, abundant life. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great love for us. We thank you, Lord, for the promise. Even as we heard that never will you leave us. Never will you forsake us. We thank you that you are a good shepherd. Lord, that even in the valley of the shadow of death, you are with us, God. Lord, even in the pass of where fear tries to call out to us, you are with us, God. We welcome the light of you to shine in our life, in every area of our life where we need your light to shine, God. We welcome your Holy Spirit to bring that wisdom, that understanding that's peaceful and pure and righteous and full of life into our life. We thank you for your commitment to us this day, Lord. In Jesus' name.